The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This airline pilot, he loses both engines. And so he ends up and takes it down on the Hudson River and lands on the Hudson River. And not a single passenger was killed. In fact, not a single passenger was hurt. Nobody thinks that has to do with eternal salvation. And we see this in English all the time.
The word salvation, or saved, is a word that has a fairly uniform or conventional meaning to most Christians today. But how many different ways is it used in the Bible? And what is usually meant when that term appears? Hello friends, this is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. This is a program where we seek to be clear about what saving faith is and what it's not. Thank you for listening and for supporting this radio ministry. Our teaching series is The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. Our source for this series is a book written by discussion leader Dr. Bob Wilkin. Now, let's jump right to that discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
My name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, we've been going through some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible based on a book that Bob wrote called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. These are words that have taken on their own meaning in evangelical circles and Christian circles. And the meanings these words have taken on aren't always the same as what the Bible means by those words. And if we're going to be good Bereans, good students of Scripture, we need to make sure that we understand a word in its context and that we don't take it out of context or impose meaning on the text. What we want to do is get the correct meaning out of the text. One of the most important words in the Bible that we think is gravely misunderstood is the word salvation. Now, when you and I talk about salvation, I'll tell you what we probably both mean most of the time. When we say someone's got saved, we mean they were born again. We mean they're not going to hell. They're going to go to heaven when they die. But is that how the Bible uses the word saved? Does it always mean being saved from hell? Or is there a variety of meanings to the word salvation in the Bible?
That's a good point, Sean. No, the word saved in the Bible means some sort of deliverance, rescue, something along those lines. In the Old Testament, the words for save or deliver or rescue never, not once, refer to being born again, having eternal life, etc.
What kind of salvation does the Old Testament talk about then?
Okay, good point. One would be deliverance from enemies. This is far and away the most common use. For example, in Psalm 18, 2 through 3, and this is a psalm we sing part of this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon him who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from what? From my enemies."
You know, isn't he talking about sin, death, and the devil there?
No, he's not talking about sin, death. He's talking about the Gentile nations that surround Israel. Also, David had some enemies within his own camp.
So David was talking about real enemies, the Philistines, the armies that were around them, people who actually wanted to kill Israel, kill him. And he's expecting, or he believed in God for that kind of salvation, salvation in the middle of a war.
Right. And also another major use of salvation is salvation from general trouble, not necessarily enemies, but general trouble. If you read Psalm 91, verses 15 and 16, it talks about God giving long life and delivering from all of the calamities that can shorten and curtail a life. Also, another major use of salvation in the Old Testament is deliverance of the poor and needy from their afflictions. Psalm 12:5 says, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns." And really, that is the salvation for which he yearns.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, what you're suggesting is that salvation, instead of having only one meaning in the Bible, has different definitions in the Bible. And we need to be sensitive to the different ways that it can be used. You know, although Christians, when we talk about save, we always mean, almost always mean eternal salvation. When it comes to the Bible, there's this whole category of earthly salvation.
Yes.
That God talks about, that the Bible talks about. And we have to be careful not to misinterpret those texts. If it talks about earthly salvation, we shouldn't interpret it as if it was talking about eternal salvation.
That's a good point, Sean. I remember I took a course on the doctrine of salvation in seminary, And one of my professors, Dr. Craig Glickman, he liked to say that the doctrine of salvation covers all types of salvation found in the Bible. It's not just how I'm born again. It's all aspects of deliverance. And so in the Old Testament, we don't find any examples of salvation from eternal condemnation. In the New Testament, we do, but it's only about 3 times in 10. So you can see why New Testament believers can be confused, because they'll read the New Testament and they'll see expressions of salvation. They'll see something like, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and they get confused.
Because they assume that can only mean one thing. It can only mean salvation from hell.
Right. Instead of understanding that Paul has referred to his own salvation earlier in Philippians and says that he knows that their prayers and the supply of the Spirit will work out for his salvation, which he's talking about deliverance from the persecution he's undergoing while he's in prison in Rome. In other words, he'll successfully handle that. And that's what Philippians 2:12 is talking about. Work out your own salvation refers to work out your own deliverance from persecution in a way that will glorify God.
Well, let's talk about the New Testament evidence.
Yeah.
Okay, you've said that there is no example of salvation in the Old Testament being used to refer to eternal salvation. And you just said that only about 3 out of 10 uses in the New Testament refer to eternal salvation. That means 7 out of 10 has to refer to some type of earthly deliverance. Can you prove that? Can you give us some examples?
Okay, one example would be Matthew 8:24-25, where the disciples are in a sinking boat and they say, Lord, save us, we're perishing.
And they're worried about hell at that moment.
No, they're dying.
They're questioning whether they're justified.
No, they're not, John. Or Matthew 9:21, where the woman with the issue of blood says, if only I touch his garment, I shall be saved, or I shall be made well, in many translations, but it's sozo.
So there the salvation is physical healing from this illness that she had.
Right. And remember Peter walking on the water and he takes his eyes off Jesus, which was a bad idea, and he starts to sink and he says, Lord, save me. Again, he's about to die and he's asking the Lord to deliver him.
Well, very interesting. So even in the New Testament, salvation can mean salvation from physical death. And we need to be aware of that when we're reading the New Testament.
Yes, and oftentimes it's not just physical death, but it's also those calamities which can lead to premature death. In fact, all 5 uses of salvation in James refer to deliverance from calamity in this life, from God's judgment and discipline in this life. But you can see how when people don't read it that way, they radically read the epistle of James differently.
Even in English, we could say that salvation has more than one meaning, right? My wife and I are always trying to save money. That doesn't mean we're trying to save our money from hell. It means we're trying to save it from wasteful spending. Or if my car breaks down on the side of the road and I call you and you come to help me out, I'll say, wow, you really saved me out of this jam.
Right. You know? I don't know if you've seen the movie Sully, but this airline pilot, he loses both engines and takes it down on the Hudson River and lands on the Hudson River. And not a single passenger was killed. In fact, not a single passenger was hurt. They were all saved. Nobody thinks that has to do with eternal salvation. And we see this in English all the time. Most of the time in English, if you're talking to someone that's not a believer, they're not using the word saved to refer to eternal salvation.
Right, so it's common in English, and you're saying it's also common in the New Testament. We use it figuratively in English. Do we use salvation figuratively in the New Testament?
Sure. For example, as I mentioned in Philippians, when Paul is concerned about his own salvation in Philippians 1:19, he's concerned about handling his trials well. He calls that salvation. Or, for example, in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews calls salvation being Christ's metakoi, his partners in the life to come. I'm thinking of Hebrews 1:9, Hebrews 1:14, Hebrews 5:9. Or, for example, another one would be 1 Timothy 2:15. This is a puzzling verse for many people. In fact, I received an email about this the other day.
1 Timothy 2:15 says, Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Saved in childbearing. What does that mean?
Yeah, some people think this refers to Mary and that the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus, and so that's how we're saved. But what the context is talking about, if you read the context, verse 12, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over men, but to be in silence. That means, in my estimation, women can't be elders in the local church, nor can they be the ones who are speaking in the church service. That's not their role. And so that leads to some potential frustration. But notice verse 15. Nevertheless, she, this is singular, will be saved in childbearing if they, that's plural, continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. The she is a mother. The they are her children. And what Paul is saying here is that the woman will be delivered from any frustration because she's not a leader in the local church, because she's training the next generation of Christian leaders.
So she is teaching. She might not be teaching in the context of a local church, but she's teaching her children.
She has her own congregation, and she's training them up. And if her children continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control, then her life is fulfilled. She has great joy through that. That's all that's talking about.
Now, that is not how most people read that verse. What an interesting and completely different perspective on that verse in 1 Timothy when you come with it with the expectation that salvation can mean more than one thing. Well, that's a lesson all of us can learn as we seek to be better Bible students. So the big idea here that I'm getting from you, Bob, is that there are at least two different big kinds of salvation in the Bible. There is earthly salvation, and there's eternal salvation. And as good Bible students, we need to be sensitive to the possibility that a text might be talking about earthly salvation, and we shouldn't misinterpret it as if it's talking about salvation from hell.
That's exactly right. In fact, number one, if we misunderstand what type of salvation is involved, we're going to misinterpret the passage and we're going to misapply the passage. But number two, if we think a passage that's dealing with some sort of earthly salvation is telling us what I need to do to be born again, I'm going to end up with some form of work salvation, which is a tragedy. What we're seeking to do is to help people see the truth in the Word of God so that they can apply the Word of God and one day hear the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on Grace and Focus, what does the Bible say about eternal salvation? Let's find out tomorrow. Until then, I'm Lucas Kitchen, and let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.